FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today's Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017. Well, when we last spoke with this person, the market was in the midst of Trumpphoria. It was posting higher highs. And now, well, where will it go? And what about gold? And what about Bitcoin? Nick Santiago in themoneystocks.com. Welcome back.
Thank you, Kerry. Great to be back here with you.
Hey, so when we last spoke, the market was in the midst of a major advance. Now it looks like it's stalled a bit, or perhaps has peaked, and we see the dollar has gone much lower. It's under 100 for the first time in a while. When last I looked, it was around 96. What's happening here, Nick?
Well, I do think that the market now is starting to get a bit tired as we go into the second half of the year. And if you remember the last time I was on your program, I said the market should be strong really until the middle of the year. So we're getting there, May 23rd being today. We're getting towards that middle part of the year where the markets are going to become a little bit more choppy. The volatility index, which is the VIX, has been at lows. That's going to start to pick up, I think, as we get into July and August. So I think the markets have some headwinds, but right now, they're still hanging in there. They're still holding up fine. And you talked about the dollar, which is very, very weak. But I think the dollar is in process right now, putting in a bottom. So I think traders should note that the dollar really has been selling off since the beginning of the year. And it really took a hard turn down in March when it was trading around 102. And today it's trading at 96.85. So I'm looking for a bottom to occur in the dollar momentarily. And I think over the next week or two, we're going to probably see that happen.
You think so, huh? And what do you think?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident.
Is it getting close to it now, or has it?
Oh yeah, it's already close. So I mean, we're at oversold levels here, and we're coming into a major support level on the chart of the dollar. And when you look at more along the lines of a continuous contract chart, you'll see that we're right into that low from November of 2016, and this is where the dollar generally should get defended. So it's had a great fall since the start of the year, so right since January 1st or January 3rd, and now we'll start to see the dollar turn around and start to move higher, especially against the euro. So I think there's a good trade there for a lot of traders to get short the euro right now, also the British pound. And I think dollar yen is about to make a move higher as well from here.
Dollar yen as well, huh? So that doesn't bode well for gold, does it?
Generally, it doesn't. So if you've looked at gold, and I know you have, if you
on
see
occasion,
gold now.
Every now and then.
Well, if you take a look, we've had a good bounce in gold since May 9th, and I think it's going to start to stall out. If by some chance we get a little bit some market jitters, I think gold could have one more pop. Maybe the GLD, which is the gold ETF, gets up to maybe 125, and there it probably would be a short trade if it did get there, just for the time being. Long term, obviously, you know, I love gold going long term, but in the short term, I do think it is vulnerable.
Yeah. Well, not to be surprised, it could take one little hit back, but it's shown pretty good strength. I mean, the last decline, the week before last, it got to what, 1220 something? And then
that's correct.
Then it like dug in its heels. And
yeah,
silver is back over 17 slightly. So
yeah,
what to make?
Well, when you look at, you know, the precious metal, you gotta remember it has really a few meanings to it. One, it's usually the anti-dollar play. So people will get into it just to, you know, because they don't want to be in dollars. Number two, if there's any fear out there, and there was fear last Wednesday in the stock market where we had a really, really big sell. And that was on the back of the Comey comments that, you know, Trump tried to persuade him not to look into the Russian deal and to let Flynn off the hook, all of these geopolitical events that are going on. And we had that big sell-off. But the market's recovered. Gold is held pretty firm since then. And that just tells us that there's still that fear out there that more shoes are going to drop in that situation. So when I look at the chart right now, gold is hanging in there. But if the dollar starts to really make a move to the upside, I do think that could put pressure on gold. Now, there have been times in the past where the dollar and gold have both gone up together, and it has lasted several months. And this is a chance, there's a scenario where that could happen. However, historically speaking, at least over the past 20 years, gold will normally retreat when the dollar goes up.
Yeah. Yeah, normally. But we could be in an anomalous situation where they both go up too, I suppose.
Absolutely. So there is a very good chance of that, actually. So, you know, we'll watch the chart pattern. And if we get the right setup, you know, it doesn't matter what anything else is doing. We'll always go with the chart.
Right. The chart rules all. So
chart tells us everything.
So the stock market, is it taking a breather? Is the Trumpforia meme over, or is it going to potentially go higher and higher?
Well, I do think that the market still is in an uptrend on all time frames, but we are starting to see a lot of deterioration taking place. And a couple places where that's occurring is in the transports. Mm-hmm. And if you've taken a look at the transports, you're going to see that they peaked out basically right in the beginning of March, and they've been struggling to go higher. So transports are definitely on the weaker side, and financials. I look at J.P. Morgan as the real Bank of America, and that is not a pattern of strength right now. And that is telling me that second half of 2017 can be disruptive. And we've had, you know, pretty much the rally that we've expected, we've had already. Unless something changes in the financials, I'll have to stick with that stance, because I've never seen a market move significantly higher without the financials. And right now they are starting to struggle. And they've had a great move, but they are definitely in weak technical positions right now. J.P. Morgan is trading below its 50-day moving average on the daily chart. That is a little bit problematic at the moment.
Interesting. And obviously, transports historically, especially under classic Dow theory, are a leading indicator, because before economic activity contracts or before it expands, generally you need shipments to be up or down. And here, it's exactly what we're seeing here, that the transports have apparently peaked. So where's it going to go from there?
Yeah, I mean, the Dow Jones Transportation Index was trading at 9,600 on March 1st. Today it's at, you know, 89.93, and the pattern on the chart is not a strong one. So I do think the transports can go lower before they find any kind of a bottom. Right now they're recovering a little bit over the last 4 or 5 days, but again, that's just more of an oversold bounce, if you ask me, at the moment. So yeah, when the transports are not giving us a signal, that does, you know, signal that we have economic contraction taking place. And if that is the case, you know, 2017, the second half of this year can be very, very rough for a lot of individuals out there. So we'll see how it plays out. But transports have always been a leading indicator for me. And something else also, Kerry, that tells me there's going to be problems in the second half of the year is the Russell 2000, which had leadership for a while. And the Russell 2000 now is also below, not making new highs, and really below its 50-day moving average, or right around there. So, you know, it's not really showing all that much strength yet either. So that's going to need to firm up if things are going to get better here.
That's fascinating. And I totally, you know, people have said, well, the Dow theory is obsolete, it doesn't mean anything. But the concept behind it, with the transports leading in advance and the transports having to confirm a new rally or a contraction, I think that logic still holds true.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's very simple. The Dow has changed its composition over the years. You know, you don't have just industrial stocks in the Dow 30 anymore, but the transports are still true to form. You know, you're still getting airlines in there. You're still getting freight carriers, truckers, and shipping stocks, and so forth. So it really tells us a pretty broad picture. And I think that everyone should always follow the transports as a pretty leading indicator. Pretty good leading indicator.
Yeah. Hey, once upon a time, the stock market was a leading indicator too, wasn't it?
That's right. Once upon a time.
Yeah. What happened there, huh?
Well, money printing and get off the gold standard, you know, can change things a little bit.
Yeah, it sure has changed it.
That's why we have to look at charts, Gary. This way you see the money flow. You can see where all the liquidity is. I remember, you got to remember, this world, not this country, but this world is flooded with liquidity. You have Japan printing money. You have the ECB buying 60 billion euro worth of bonds every month. I mean, it's just absolute massive liquidity in this giant pool. So, you know, again, that's what makes it so hard. And really, what's happening with a lot of, you know, why it's so tough to get bearish is because of that liquidity. There's so much in it. And people these days, or the crowd, I should say, will get bearish so fast on the stock market. You know, just like last Wednesday, we had that sell-off. And I told our members, I said, you know, this may just be a one-day event. Even if we do fall, I don't think that the S&P 500 is going to go down that far. We'll probably test, you know, 2350, 2340, and that would be the extent of it. And you know what we did? We went down as low as 2370, and, you know, the markets are back up. So, you know, when people just get bearish so quickly, you know, it was John Templeton, I'll never forget, who gave us the greatest quote, and he said, markets peak on euphoria, and they bottom in despair. And if you just remember those two things, we just have not seen euphoria yet. So, you know, there still could be more upside to go here.
Even Trumpphoria, huh?
Even Trumpphoria. It's all relative.
Yeah. So what are your trades looking like now?
Well, now, you know, you have to be very, very spot specific. So right now I like the dollar. That's beaten down. That's been hurting here, and it's making the lows. So I like the dollar. I recently got long General Motors at $32. It's now 33 and a quarter. We been taking some very, very select plays. Last week we were short the emerging markets, which panned out because Brazil had a major blip. And, right. You know, we made 90% on the second half of our options play. So, you know, you have to just look at these charts, and you have to be almost like a surgeon. You have to go in there and you have to pick specific places to get into. And, you know, one area that I still don't see strength is retail. And retail is still very, very weak and continues to remain very, very weak. And even today, you have the XRT, which is the S&P 500 retail ETF. And that is down again another, you know, 50 cents. And I know that may not sound like a big move, but that's about 1.2% today. And that's continuing to remain in the gutter and in a downtrend. So, you know, there are spots where I don't really like to get into, like retailers. I think they're still on the weaker side. If they really sold off, then I would get in when everybody else, I'd get involved in the retailers when everybody else is fearful. But right now that hasn't happened yet. So again, you got to pick your spots. Right now, everybody hates the US dollar. You know, I love the dollar right now.
So it's a real contrarian play, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's 100% contrarian. And that's how I've traded, you know, for over 20 years now. So I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah. 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 I think there's some wisdom in that because it's okay to run with the herd as long as you lead it. But if you're following it, you're going to get picked off by the hunters, right?
Absolutely. You know, and that's the one thing about bull markets. They make everybody seem like they're geniuses. Now, this is where the actual work gets done when you get into these grinding, choppy, sideways markets. And second half of the year for the stock market, in my opinion, is going to be very, very turbulent, as will 2018. And that's when, you know, people will come to me and they'll say, hey, you know, what are you going to trade here? You know, where is there a place to make money? Because it gets tough in these kind of waters when everybody's, you know, in on the same deal. And, you know, we get that euphoric move. It's pretty easy. But the next year and a half is going to be, you know, it's going to be where you'll see the difference between the professional traders and the so-called, you know, traders that are out there thinking everybody can do it.
Yeah, but can everybody do it, Nick?
I think everybody can do it once they adopt a philosophy that you can't follow the crowd. And I do think it takes time. It took me a long period of time. And to be honest, Kerry, I'm still learning to this very day. You know, I think that's what keeps me interested in this business because I'm humbled sometimes and I got to realize when I'm wrong, you got to get out. And you know, that's the biggest fault I feel that most day traders, swing traders, or even investors make is that they just can't admit when they're wrong. And this is a humbling business. You have to be able to change with the wind if you need to. And first and foremost, you have to admit when you're wrong in a trade.
Okay, cut your losses and let your profits run, huh?
It's easier said than done, but that is what you want to do.
All right. Well, hey, it's a worthy goal to aspire to. Whether you could do it or not, I think it's a question of temperament. Somebody told me that the people they've seen who trade best are the ones who can pretty much follow orders and not question them. Like, they found that people with blue collar careers generally far out trade people like lawyers, doctors, and others who are entrepreneurs who are used to doing their own thing and questioning direction, if you will. So
I happen to agree with that. I've trained many. I've trained hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the years, and I'd rather train a plumber that has never traded a stock before than take a hedge fund manager and try to convince him that you need to follow this chart. So I've done both, and I will say the plumber usually turned out a little bit better.
Interesting. Interesting. I guess that tells you something. Well, anyway, Nick, if we want to subscribe to you, check out your site, what do we do?
Yep. Come on over to InTheMoneyStocks.com. Check out our blog. I put lots of trade setups up there. I put lots of trade levels. We put tons of free content out there each and every day. And then just come on over. We offer subscriptions, trial subscriptions to our intraday stock chat room, also to our swing trading service where you get all of our reports at night, plus all of our trade setups. And, we even have an option service as well. So try it out and see what it's all about. And maybe it's for, somebody. Maybe it's not. But either way, you'll always read the Daily Market Report. You'll get all my commentary each and every night. And I tell you exactly which way I see these markets going each and every day.
Hey, well, that's a good thing. And we appreciate it. Hey, if you've got any questions, comments for me or for Nick, send me an email, kl@carrylutz.com, or tweet us at our Twitter feed, which is @CarryLutz. And our Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Nick, it's always great catching up with you. And let's see.
It's great to be back.
All right. Let's see what the market does next. You be well.
You too, my friend. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.